Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Claude Daily. I'm Alex. It is Wednesday, June 17th, 2026. And Sam, when I was pulling together the brief this morning, I just kept reading it over and over again.
Same. I got up early to go through everything, and I was like, is this real? Is this actually what's happening? Because on its face, this is a lot.
It's a lot. So here's the landscape. There is one story today that is eating everything else alive. And it's the ongoing and apparently intensifying conflict between Anthropic and the Trump White House over Claude Fable 5. We're talking about the US government intervening in the deployment of Anthropic's flagship model. We're talking about what looks like an export ban. We're talking about face-to-face meetings between Anthropic executives and White House officials. And we've got multiple major publications, Wired, The Washington Post, Vox, Foreign Policy, all taking different runs at this story from different angles.
And none of them are treating it as a minor thing. Every outlet that has a piece on this is writing it big, which tells you something about how serious this is.
On top of that, and this is almost surreal to say in the same breath, we've got the Anthropic IPO story still actively developing. The company apparently still moving toward going public, which, given everything else happening, is,
quite a detail, yeah.
We've got the cost structure of Frontier AI back in the news through this 36KR piece about how Claude and ChatGPT are charging $200 a month, but potentially losing $14,000 per user. We've got Wipro building a whole center of excellence around Claude models, the University of Chicago rolling out Claude Enterprise to the entire campus, a South Korean e-commerce company going company-wide with Claude, Anthropic apparently seeking to lease its own data centers. And that's before we get into developer friction around a pricing reversal and user pushback on identity verification.
It's one of those mornings where you kind of want to do a three-hour show.
We'll do our best. Let's start where we have to start. Okay. Fable 5. Let me lay out what we know, because there's a lot swirling, and I want to make sure we're working from what's actually confirmed versus what's still developing. Wired has the central piece. Anthropic is still at odds with the White House over Claude Fable 5. And I want to flag that word still right away. This is an ongoing fight, not a brand new one.
Right. And let's give people some context on the model name if they haven't been following closely. So Claude's naming conventions have evolved over time. For a long time, it was Sonnet, Haiku, Opus, poetic names for different capability tiers within a generation. And then at some point, the branding shifted and you started seeing these more narrative names for the flagship generations, Fable being one of them. Fable 5 appears to be the current top-tier model, the highest capability level Anthropic has built.
And it's that highest capability level that has apparently triggered serious concern from the administration.
Which, even saying that sentence out loud is significant, because we've had a lot of AI policy debates over the last few years, but the government actually intervening to block or restrict the deployment of a specific frontier model from a major American company, that's a different category of thing.
The intervention seems to have started specifically as an export ban. Android Headlines has this piece with the specific headline phrase Fable 5 export ban, and it's in the context of reporting on Anthropic's face-to-face meetings with White House officials. So the initial framing was, this model cannot leave the country. It cannot be made accessible to foreign entities, foreign governments, potentially foreign companies in ways that could compromise national security.
Okay, and from a pure national security standpoint, you can construct the logic. If you have a frontier AI model that's genuinely capable of assisting with, say, weapons design, or that has serious dual-use potential in offensive cyber operations, you don't want that freely available on the global market. That reasoning exists. I can write that argument.
But here's where it gets more complicated, and this is where the Mimi Byrne piece adds something important. The headline says Anthropic was forced to shut down, not just Fable 5, but also something called Mythos 5.
Wait, Mythos 5?
Mythos 5. Yeah, that's the second model name that appears in the reporting today. Exactly what Mythos is, whether that's a separate model line, a reasoning-specific variant, something else entirely, we don't have enough detail to say definitively. But two models being shut down suggests the concern is not about one narrow specific edge case capability that tripped some threshold. Something more fundamental is apparently happening with what these models can do.
Which raises a different and harder question. Because if you can point to a specific capability, okay, model refuses to discuss this, model is not allowed to engage with that type of request, guardrails are put in place, that's solvable. You can engineer around specific capability concerns. But if the capability level itself is what's triggering the intervention, if the model is just too capable, full stop.
Then what's the path forward?
Exactly. You cannot unbuild capability. You cannot make a frontier model dumber to satisfy a regulatory requirement and then deploy it competitively. That's not a real option for Anthropic.
And Scientific American gets right at the paradox embedded in all of this. Their headline, U.S. limits on Anthropic Fable AI could hurt cybersecurity. The argument being made is that the same capabilities that make a frontier model potentially dangerous in offensive applications make it enormously powerful for defensive applications. Cybersecurity researchers, threat analysts, the people defending critical infrastructure, they need the best tools available. If those tools are restricted,
you've hamstrung the defense without hamstringing the offense. Because foreign adversaries, China, Russia, others, are not going to abide by American export restrictions. They're building frontier AI. If they have models at Fable 5 capability and American defenders are working with something lesser,
the capability gap works in the wrong direction.
It's like, imagine if you said, to prevent misuse of satellite imagery, we're going to restrict access to the highest resolution imagery for American analysts. Sounds cautious. Except your adversaries have it and your intelligence community doesn't. You've made yourself less safe in the name of making yourself safer.
And the fact that Scientific American is running this argument, not an AI industry trade publication, not an Anthropic press release, this is the mainstream scientific community saying, hold on, this logic doesn't hold together.
Independent voices, yeah, that matters.
Foreign policy takes a step back from the technical details and asks a political question. Their headline, why is Anthropic fighting with Trump again? And that word, again.
That word is doing so much work. It implies a pattern. It implies this is the nature of the relationship, not a one-off.
And there's a real history to understand here. Anthropic has always occupied this interesting position in the AI industry where safety is explicitly the founding ethos. That's not marketing language. That's why several of these researchers left OpenAI to start the company. And that safety orientation meant Anthropic was generally more willing to engage with regulators, more supportive of oversight mechanisms, more likely to advocate publicly for things like mandatory safety evaluations before deploying powerful models.
Which, in certain political contexts, gets read as anti-innovation. As a company that wants to use regulation as a competitive weapon to slow down rivals, or as being paternalistic about what AI should and shouldn't be allowed to do. And that framing, whether it's fair or not, has clearly affected the relationship between Anthropic and the current administration.
And the Washington Post piece is the most pointed in describing where that relationship has ended up. The headline, how Anthropic lost the White House's trust and then its flagship product. Two distinct things happening in that headline. Trust goes first. Product loss follows.
Which implies causality. The trust deteriorating over time led to this outcome. This wasn't a purely technical regulatory decision made dispassionately by people applying clear rules. There's apparently a political and relational dimension to what happened.
Right. The implication is that Anthropic had a relationship with the administration that was functional at some point, and that relationship broke down through specific incidents, through public disagreements, through policy advocacy that the administration didn't like. And when Fable 5 came up, there wasn't enough goodwill in the bank to get a different outcome.
And that framing, if accurate, is chilling for every AI company operating in this environment. Because it suggests the regulatory treatment your model gets is partly a function of your political relationship with the administration. And if that's true, that's a thing every company building frontier AI has to factor in.
Vox runs with that exact implication. Their headline, Trump just found the worst way to regulate AI, though. The argument, from what we can see in the coverage, is that what's happened here isn't a regulatory framework in any meaningful sense. A real regulatory framework has clear standards. Clear thresholds, a defined process for evaluation and approval, a path for companies to demonstrate compliance.
What we have instead sounds like discretionary executive intervention. And discretionary executive intervention, even when the underlying concern is legitimate, creates a kind of uncertainty that's actually harder to operate in than strict regulation.
Why?
Because with strict regulation, I can plan. Tell me. Models with capability X and domain Y require prior approval. Tell me, there's an evaluation process, here's what you submit, here's the timeline, I can engineer around that, my legal team can structure around that, my product roadmap can account for that. But if the rule is effectively, the government might decide your model is a problem, and we'll let you know when that happens.
You can't compliance plan your way out of vague discretionary authority.
Impossible. And every company in this space has to look at Anthropic right now and ask, could this happen to us? What's the threshold? Who decides? What's the appeals process? And there aren't good answers to those questions.
And Vox makes the further argument, which I think is really important, that this uncertainty could perversely push companies to be less transparent about their models' capabilities.
Oh, that's a crucial point. Because right now, the responsible thing to do in AI development is be open about what your model can do, especially capabilities that could be concerning. Submit your model to safety evaluations. Publish your findings. Engage with the research community. That's what safety advocates have been pushing for. But if the lesson that Anthropic's experience teaches is the more you tell the government about your model's capabilities, the more likely they are to shut you down. Companies go very quiet, and suddenly you've created regulatory incentives for exactly the behavior that makes AI development less safe. That is a genuinely bad outcome. And I don't think it was what anyone intended, but it may be what this approach produces.
And Anthropic is fighting. That's worth noting. The face-to-face meetings with White House officials are actively happening. The company is clearly treating this as urgent and is pushing back through every available channel.
Of course they are. Fable 5 is their competitive position. If you're selling Claude Enterprise to major corporations, if you're telling potential customers you have the most capable model in the world, and then that model gets shut down, your sales pitch collapses. Your existing customer relationships come under pressure. Your roadmap gets blown up.
And we don't know what the outcome of those meetings looks like. Whether there's a path to some kind of modified or restricted deployment that satisfies the administration's concerns. Whether Anthropic can make technical changes or access control changes that address whatever the specific worry is. Or whether Fable 5 stays shut down.
Which would be an enormous outcome, an enormous business loss, and an enormous signal to the industry about what the operating environment looks like.
We'll be watching this very closely. Okay, so, and I want to acknowledge how jarring this transition feels. Anthropic is also apparently still pursuing an IPO.
I know. Yahoo Finance has this piece out today. Anthropic IPO, what to know before you buy the stock. And it reads like it's filed from a completely different reality. Like, one set of stories is about the government shutting down the flagship model, and another set is, here's your investor due diligence guide.
The piece gives the background. Anthropic founded in 2021. Former OpenAI researchers, Dario Amodè as chief executive, his sister Daniela as president. Listeners know the origin story. And it frames this potential IPO as one of the most significant tech public market events in recent memory if it goes through.
If it goes through, that is the operative phrase.
Because the risk factors you'd have to put in the prospectus right now.
Oh, man. Okay, let's just think about this. You're going public and you have to disclose, our flagship model has been shut down by the U.S. government. We are in active conflict with the White House over the ability to deploy our primary product. The full resolution of this dispute is uncertain. Also, our cost structure at current scale may mean we're losing significant money per user, even at premium pricing tiers. Also, we are making major capital commitments to data center infrastructure before we've achieved profitability. Also, we have regulatory uncertainty, not just in the US, but in multiple international markets.
That's a lot of risk factors.
That is a prospectus that has to be very carefully written by some very expensive lawyers. And investors are going to look at all of that and make a call about whether they believe in the long-term trajectory enough to buy in at whatever valuation this thing comes out at.
And the 36 Kier piece, 36 Kier being a Chinese business publication for people unfamiliar, digs into the financial reality of running frontier AI in a way that should inform that investor calculus. The headline? Exposed, the money-losing business behind ChatGPT and Claude. Charging $200 a month, but at risk of losing $14,000.
Okay, let's actually work through that math because it sounds absurd and I want to make sure we're representing it fairly. $200 a month is $2,400 a year per user. How do you lose $14,000 on someone paying you $2,400?
The answer seems to be, compute costs for frontier model inference are genuinely astronomical, especially for heavy users. If someone is running long context windows, running agentic tasks that require lots of back and forth inference, using the model constantly, the actual server and energy cost of servicing them can wildly exceed what they're paying in subscription fees.
And the pricing has been set competitively, not cost reflectively, meaning the subscription price was set based on what you need to charge to be competitive with other options in the market, not based on what you need to charge to cover your actual costs. It was a land grab move. Acquire users, build the ecosystem, figure out the economics later.
Which works for a lot of software businesses. But most software doesn't have marginal costs that scale with usage the way inference does. If you have 1 million users of, say, a project management app, your server costs don't go up proportionally with every action every user takes. With AI inference,
every query has a real cost. Every token generated has a real cost. And at Fable 5 capability levels, those per-token costs are not trivial.
And this connects directly to the data center story from Igor's lab. The headline there is that Anthropic is seeking to lease its own dedicated data center capacity, not just buying compute time from Amazon Web Services or Google Cloud, actually controlling their own facilities with their own power guarantees.
This is a massive capital commitment. This is what hyperscalers do, what Amazon does, what Microsoft does. For a company that hasn't achieved profitability to be pursuing dedicated data center capacity, that's a bet of enormous scale on the premise that they will get to a point where they need and can justify that infrastructure.
Or it's a necessity. They've outgrown what they can reliably source through cloud providers.
That's probably the more accurate framing. At some point, if your demand is growing fast enough and you're running models of this complexity, you hit a ceiling on what cloud providers can reliably give you. You need to know, when an enterprise client needs 50 million tokens processed in the next 2 hours, can I do that? And if you're dependent on someone else's capacity, the answer might sometimes be no.
So the data center move is partly about economics, building toward better unit costs, and partly about reliability and capacity guarantees.
Right. And the bet is that at the scale they're planning for, owning, or at least controlling, the infrastructure pays off. But that's a bet that requires them to get to that scale. If something derails the growth, like, say, their flagship model getting shut down by the government,
the infrastructure investment looks very different.
Very different, yeah.
All right, let's pivot to the enterprise adoption stories, because there's actually a lot happening there, and it sometimes gets lost underneath the bigger policy drama. And I think the fact that major enterprises are still making serious commitments to Claude, even amid all of this turbulence, is worth understanding.
It says something. Enterprises don't make decisions like this impulsively. They do due diligence. They evaluate risk. And they're still betting.
Wipro. For listeners unfamiliar, Wipro is one of the largest IT services and consulting firms in the world. India headquartered, but serving global enterprises across essentially every sector. They have announced an applied AI Center of Excellence for Claude models, built in direct partnership with Anthropic.
Center of Excellence, TOE in industry speak, is a specific kind of organizational structure. It's not, we have some people who know how to use this tool. It's dedicated teams, dedicated training programs, dedicated investment, with the mandate to build deep expertise and then deploy that expertise in client engagements. It's a formal institutional bet.
And the multiplier effect here is significant. Wipro doesn't use tools for themselves. They implement tools for their clients. If Wipro is building deep Claude expertise, that expertise shows up in consulting engagements and implementations across hundreds of enterprises worldwide who are Wipro clients.
Anthropic doesn't have the sales force or the implementation capacity to directly serve every enterprise that wants to use Claude at scale. Having a Wipro build that capacity and distribute it through their client relationships, that extends Anthropic's enterprise reach in a way that would take years to replicate organically.
It's an enterprise distribution channel dressed up as a technology partnership.
Exactly. Very smart move from both sides. Wipro gets a differentiated offering to bring to clients. Anthropic gets reach.
The University of Chicago announcement is interesting in a different way. The Chicago Maroon, the university newspaper, reports that the whole university community is getting Claude Enterprise access. Students, faculty, staff, institutional deployment at a major research university.
I find academic deployments fascinating for the long-tail implications. Universities are where the next generation of researchers, engineers, doctors, lawyers, policy people are forming habits and intuitions about how to work with AI. If Claude is the tool you use throughout your graduate training, if it's what you reach for when you're running a literature review or structuring a research design, those habits carry forward.
And for Anthropic, a flagship relationship with a school like the University of Chicago, which has a particular reputation in economics and social science research, is legitimizing in ways that matter. It's not just about the users on that campus. It's about the signal it sends.
And it shapes the research community over time. Researchers write papers about the tools they use. The next generation of people thinking about AI at scale will have Claude experience. That's not nothing.
CJ OnStyle in South Korea is the third major adoption story. Seoul Gyeongjae has the reporting. That's the South Korean financial newspaper. CJ OnStyle is the home shopping and e-commerce subsidiary of the CJ Group, which is one of South Korea's large conglomerates. And they've gone company-wide with Claude.
Company-wide, not a department pilot, not an experimental use case, the whole company.
Which is an organizational commitment, not just a technology purchase. When you go company-wide on an AI platform, you're restructuring workflows. You're retraining staff. You're making decisions about what tasks get done differently. That's serious implementation work.
And I want to flag something we probably don't say enough about, the international enterprise picture. So much of the AI coverage in American media is US-centric. It's about Silicon Valley companies, American regulatory debates, American adoption curves. But the Korean market, the Japanese market, Southeast Asia, there's genuine enterprise AI momentum there that often goes unreported here. And Claude appears to have real traction in those markets.
Which makes sense when you think about multilingual capability. If you're running a Korean e-commerce company and your customer service interactions are in Korean, your product descriptions are in Korean, your internal communications are in Korean, you need an AI system that handles that fluently. And that's been a deliberate investment by Anthropic.
Yeah. Multilingual capability doesn't happen by accident at this quality level. It requires deliberate data investment and evaluation. And it pays off in exactly these international enterprise deployments.
Okay, two more stories I want to make sure we get to. First, the identity and age verification pushback. Biometric Update, which is a publication that covers the digital identity and biometrics industry, has a piece about Anthropic implementing some kind of identity and age verification requirement for Claude, and users are pushing back.
And I genuinely have mixed feelings about this, because I can see both sides of it pretty clearly.
Walk us through it.
Okay, so on the pro-verification side, there are legitimate pressures here. Regulators in the European Union, in the United Kingdom, increasingly in the United States, have been pushing for age verification on platforms where minors might encounter harmful content. There are real concerns about young people interacting with AI systems in ways that aren't appropriate. And there's also an accountability argument. Being able to understand who is using your platform for what purposes has value from a safety and harm reduction standpoint. So Anthropic is probably getting ahead of something regulatory here. But nobody wants to hand their identity documents to an AI company. There's a fundamentally different level of personal information involved in here is my driver's license versus here is my question. And users are already somewhat suspicious about data privacy and AI systems. Asking for identity verification is an escalation of that concern that many users are going to find uncomfortable or unacceptable.
And there's the practical competitive dimension. If I have to verify my identity to use Claude, but I don't have to verify my identity to use a competing product.
Some users take the path of least resistance, especially casual users who aren't deeply committed to Claude specifically. That friction costs you users. And depending on how the verification is implemented, what data is retained, how long it's kept, what it could potentially be subpoenaed for, there are real privacy implications beyond just the inconvenience.
There's a version of this where if your verified identity is linked to your query history, and that data could in theory be accessed by governments or breached by attackers.
The risk profile of using Claude changes meaningfully for a lot of users, particularly users who are doing sensitive work, journalists, lawyers, researchers, activists, for whom the ability to inquire about things without creating a verifiable record is important.
So even if the underlying goal of the verification is legitimate, the implementation creates new risks that users are right to be concerned about.
Yeah. And the pushback in the reporting suggests Anthropic may have underestimated how strongly users would react to this.
And then, briefly, but it's worth flagging, there's a piece from a South Korean tech publication about Anthropic abruptly suspending a planned pricing change to the Claude Agent SDK.
Okay, quick explainer. The Claude Agent SDK is the software development kit that lets developers build agentic applications on top of Claude, applications where the AI can take sequences of actions, use external tools, run extended autonomous tasks, A lot of businesses have built products on top of it. And apparently Anthropic announced a pricing change for it and then reversed course.
Abruptly suspended is the language, which implies this was a reaction to pushback, not a planned revision.
And for developers, this is a meaningful thing because they build financial models against API costs. They set customer pricing based on what they expect to pay for compute. If your underlying infrastructure provider changes pricing in ways that are hard to predict,
your economics break and you have uncomfortable conversations with your customers.
Right. And developers have options now. The number of capable AI APIs out there has grown substantially. If Anthropic starts being perceived as unpredictable on pricing, developers start hedging. They build with multiple providers. They reduce their Claude-specific dependency,
which erodes the developer ecosystem. And developer ecosystems are genuinely hard to rebuild once you've lost trust.
So the reversal was almost certainly the right call. But the fact that there was a public announcement followed by a reversal suggests some kind of internal process broke down. You don't want to be in the position of walking back announcements. It's not a good look.
Let's check in on Reddit. Our Reddit data today was unfortunately truncated in what we collected, so we don't have specific threads to point to. But based on everything we've been talking about, I think we can paint a pretty accurate picture of what those conversations look like.
The Fable 5 story alone is generating speculation at a level I haven't seen in AI communities for a while. And I mean, of course it is, because there's an information vacuum around what specifically about the model triggered government action, and people fill information vacuums with theories.
And the theories range from
Very plausible. This is about dual-use cybersecurity capability. This is about something in the model's performance on certain benchmark categories, to very not plausible. But the thing is, you can't really adjudicate between the theories because we don't have the actual information, which is itself a policy problem. When the government shuts something down without clear public justification, you get a flood of speculation that's hard to correct.
And some of that speculation can be more damaging than the truth would have been.
Absolutely. If there is a mundane-ish explanation, like this is about export classification, this is a legal technicality that's being worked through, the model is actually fine, and this will be resolved in a few weeks. The absence of that information means people assume the worst.
The developer communities are going to be active around the pricing reversal story. People sharing calculations about what the proposed change would have cost them specifically, what their actual usage patterns look like, where the pain point was.
Which is actually a useful signal even after the reversal, because it shows you where the community draws the line. Anthropic should be reading those threads carefully, not to feel bad about the reversal, but to understand what pricing structures are acceptable and what feel punitive.
The identity verification story is generating a more principled kind of debate, less about the specifics and more about the question of what AI companies owe their users in terms of not becoming surveillance infrastructure.
Which is a legitimate and important conversation, and it's one that doesn't have easy answers. Because on one hand, age verification serves real protective purposes. On the other hand, there's a version of a future where the most widely used AI assistant knows who you are and has a record of everything you've ever asked it. That's a lot of power to vest in a private company.
And trust in how that power gets used is earned slowly and lost fast.
Which is why this pushback, even if it's uncomfortable for Anthropic, is actually valuable. The community is drawing a line and saying, this is where your implementation is creating concern. That's information you want.
The enterprise stories tend to generate a different kind of Reddit conversation, more analytical, more about competitive implications. People trying to figure out what it means for the overall landscape that Wipro is building Claude-specific capacity, or what happens to the research ecosystem when major universities adopt one AI platform.
Those are genuinely interesting strategic conversations. And honestly, sometimes the takes in those threads are sharper than what you get from analysts because people are thinking through the second-order effects more carefully.
It's funny. On a day like this, Reddit is essentially running two parallel conversations that are barely aware of each other. One is doom and drama and speculation around the regulatory story. The other is pretty dispassionate strategic analysis of the enterprise moves. And they're both happening in the same communities.
Welcome to AI Twitter, I mean AI Reddit, in 2026.
Welcome to it? All right, let's bring this home. There is a lot to hold from today's show, and I want to make sure we leave you with the right frame for each piece of it.
Yeah, let's do a real synthesis, because I think the stories connect to each other in ways worth making explicit.
Start with the big one.
The Fable 5 situation. Anthropic is in the most serious regulatory confrontation in the company's history. The White House has intervened to block or restrict their flagship model, possibly their second most capable model, Mythos 5 as well. And the full shape of that intervention is still emerging. The cybersecurity argument from Scientific American is the thread I keep coming back to, because if we're building a framework where frontier AI capabilities are restricted from American defenders while adversaries abroad build freely, that's a net loss for national security, not a gain. That argument needs to be part of the policy conversation.
And the Vox and Washington Post angles together suggest this isn't just a technical regulatory dispute. There's a relationship dimension, a trust dimension, which has implications for how other AI companies navigate their own relationships with this administration.
Every company building at the frontier is watching this and making decisions about how loudly to advocate for certain policies, how much capability to disclose, how to manage their political positioning. The Anthropic situation is shaping that calculus for the whole industry.
Meanwhile, and this is the jarring part, the enterprise adoption continues. Wipro building a dedicated center of excellence, the University of Chicago extending access across a major research campus, CJ On style going company-wide in South Korea. Major institutions are making long-term bets on Claude even in the middle of all this turbulence. That says something about confidence in the underlying technology.
It does. And the international enterprise traction specifically, South Korea, the global consulting distribution through Wipro, is a reminder that this is a global story, not just a Washington story.
The financial picture is where I think the longer-term story lives. The IPO, the cost structure questions from the 36KR piece, the data center infrastructure investment, these are all connected. Anthropic is spending aggressively to build the infrastructure and scale that would make their business model work. The question is whether they get to that scale before they run out of runway, and whether the IPO is the vehicle that buys them more runway.
And you cannot policy fight your way out of structural unit economics. The Fable 5 situation might resolve, the regulatory environment might clarify. But if the underlying math of running frontier AI inference is as unfavorable as the 36KR reporting suggests, that's a problem that requires either dramatically cheaper compute, dramatically different pricing, or a different usage pattern than what we're seeing. And an IPO doesn't fix any of those things.
No, it buys time and capital, but the underlying problem has to be solved by the business.
The developer trust thing, the pricing reversal, the identity verification pushback, those are smaller stories on a day like this, but they matter. Because developers and users are constituencies Anthropic cannot afford to alienate while they're navigating everything else. The ecosystem they've built is a competitive asset. If it starts eroding,
it's very hard to rebuild.
Very hard. So even the reversals and the missteps matter.
Complicated summer shaping up for this company.
Historic summer, potentially, in ways we'll be talking about for a while.
That's Claude Daly for Wednesday, June 17th, 2026. If you want to dig into the reporting we discussed today, the outlets with the closest coverage of the Fable 5 story are Wired, The Washington Post, Vox, and Foreign Policy, all have distinct angles worth reading. The Scientific American piece on cybersecurity implications is particularly worth your time if you want the technical community's perspective. And the Yahoo Finance piece on the IPO gives you the investor framing.
We will absolutely be following how the White House meetings develop. And if there's any word on a path forward for Fable 5, we'll have it tomorrow morning.
Back tomorrow. Take care of yourselves, everyone.
See you then.